When God made man in his own image, he gave us free will, which bestows upon us a massive responsibility. We are capable of doing so much good, but in turn, we are also capable of doing so much evil. It was Uncle Ben who said to Spider-Man, "With great power comes great responsibility." And it was Winston Churchill, one of the most important figures in World War II, who said, "The price of greatness is responsibility." So in turn, the price of our free will is self-control and the responsibility of our own soul's final destination. So now let's look at what the inspired Word of God has to say about self-control. If you will, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter writes, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we read that self-control is essential for a fruitful life. It's even one of the fruits of the Spirit, as we read in Galatians chapter 5. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance." In other words, self-control. "Against such there is no law." So what happens if we don't have self-control? If we don't have that fruit in our lives? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 3. Here we read what John the Baptist has to say. Matthew chapter 3, verse 8. "Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not think to say to ourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." So not only is self-control commanded for a fruitful life, and if you don't have self-control, you are thrown into the fire, it is also a requirement for the members and the elders of the Lord's church, as you read in Titus chapter 2. "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience." And in verse 3, "the older woman likewise." It's also another requirement for the elders of the congregation, as you read in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Not only is self-control a requirement for elders, it is also vital, as we read in Romans chapter 14, to not cause our brethren to stumble. For in Romans we read, "It is good neither to eat meat, nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak." So if you know your friend is on a diet, maybe not bring homemade brownies to their front door. I'd like you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And here we read how vital self-control is for running the race. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and verse 24. "Do you not know that those who run the race all run, but one who receives the prize, run in such a way that you may obtain it? And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should be disqualified." In the marathon that we run, that is our lives, to obtain that imperishable crown, there are many hurdles that we have to jump over before we can reach that finish line victorious. And I'd like to look at some of those hurdles. So the first hurdle is in Romans chapter 6, we read about the lust of the flesh. Romans chapter 6, verse 12. "Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey in its lust. And do not present yourselves as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." Another hurdle I like to look at is controlling our tongue, as we read in James chapter 3. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in the word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. It's interesting to see that it's the mouth that controls the whole body of the horse. Also, that the same can be applied to us today. Not only that, we also read in Proverbs, a great book about self-control, in chapter 17, that even a fool is considered wise when he bridles his mouth. In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 28, he who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of calm spirit. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. Another hurdle that we must watch for is the greed and temporary pleasures of this earth. As we read in Proverbs chapter 23, that we shouldn't even look at these temporary pleasures. Do not look on the wine when it's red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. Why? Because in Matthew chapter 6 we read, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. There are many things in our lives that we need to have control over. If we aren't sober-minded and vigilant, we can run into problems in many aspects of our lives. So what are these consequences of a lack of self-control? I'd like you to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 1 through 5. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, and without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and such people turn away. Does this sound like today? Many people without self-control. We can boil it down a lot of issues in the world today for having a lack of self-control. And here, I'd like to draw your attention to verse 5. It says, from such people turn away. It's not one person that has this issue. So it can affect others around us as well. So we must, as we read in Romans chapter 14, to not cause our brethren to stumble and have self-control ourselves. Not only is a consequence of lack of self-control hard times, but it can ruin relationships. And it can ruin relationships if we don't control our mouths. I'd like you to turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Often in debates, we often put people who are quick to hear and quick to speak, or slow to hear and quick to speak. But here we read that it's the opposite that we must have. Not only can not controlling our mouths ruin relationships, but also we have to control our addictions. May it be drugs, money, gambling, alcohol, you name it. And we must set our minds on things above, as we read in Colossians chapter 3. To set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. We also know that a consequence of a lack of self-control is that we can jeopardize our salvation. As we read, everyone knows the verse, Revelation 21:8. But cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. I want you to turn your attention to Matthew chapter 3. Again, remember what John Baptist said? Even though the axe is laid on the root of the trees, therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. But having self-control is easier said than done. It's a constant battle that can be intimidating. That's why in Acts chapter 24, when Paul was before Felix, he presented his defense against the accusers. He talked about self-control and righteousness. And upon hearing those words, Felix sent him away. Self-control can be hard, but but it's definitely doable because we have many biblical examples. And that first example I like to look at is Joseph. Joseph in Genesis chapter 39. In the story, Joseph was an overseer in his master's house, a Potiphar, when he was sold into slavery to Egypt. And multiple times, Potiphar's wife wanted to lie with him, as we see in verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." And continuously throughout these verses, "Lie with me." But what happens in verse 12? What happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside? That she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. He fled temptation. He literally ran away. Wouldn't it be nice or wouldn't it be weird if we ran away from everything, every temptation? And imagine that we'd find ourselves being natural sprinters. Here, Joseph is a perfect example of self-control over lust. The next example I'd like to draw your attention to is Daniel in chapter 1. Here in this story, Babylon was besieged by Jerusalem. The Lord gave the king to Babylon as punishment, as we read in verse 2. And Daniel and the others were captured, and they're forced to eat the king's food. But in verse 12, Daniel and others refused. They refused. They so easily could have eaten the food. It was tempting. But they refused, and God blessed them, and they grew stronger than their Gentile counterparts. I'd like to close with the ultimate example of self-control. That is Jesus. He's the ultimate example, for we read in Hebrews chapter 14, chapter 4, verse 14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with us in our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, without sin." He lived his whole life. Not once did he sin. As you read in Luke chapter 4, he was tempted to turn stone to bread by Satan. He was tempted to worship someone else other than God. And he was tempted to test God. But each time he quoted scripture and said, "It is written," and resisted. He was also silent when he was accused in Mark to fulfill the prophecy. If he had said a word the whole time, it so easily could have said a word, but he didn't. The ultimate example of self-control. And he willingly endured every lashing, every beat. Between every lashing, he could have said, "No, this is enough." But he suffered. And he suffered on that cross. He could have stopped and he could have called 10,000 angels. But he showed the ultimate example of self-control. Life isn't easy to begin with. And the Christian life isn't easier. We hold ourselves to a higher standard than the rest of the world. Because as we read in Matthew chapter 7, that the gate which leads to life is narrow and few will enter. And to enter in that gate and be led through the promised land, we must have self-control to make sure we do not stray from that path. Are you on that right path? Have you followed God's plan of salvation? For we read in the Bible, there are clear instructions to be added to his kingdom. You must hear Romans 10:17, believe Hebrews 11:6, repent, Acts 2:38, confess Romans 10, verse 9, and be baptized, Mark 16:16, and you're added to his kingdom, the Lord's church. But that's not all. You must remain faithful, as we read in Revelation 2:8, 2:10. Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. If you wish to be added to the book of life or need prayers of the church, please come forward as together we stand and sing.